Good morning.
Don't worry about it.
All right, so like we talked about last week, we're going to be continuing on with kind of the mission trip to Liberia, and I apologize last week if I seemed a little out of it. I was. No, I honestly thought I'd fall asleep on my feet. Luckily, that didn't happen. But I do want to start off saying something, and that is, me and Sarah would not have had the opportunity to go if it was not for all of you. We had so many prayers, so much support monetarily, but also just spiritually. I just wanted to take a time to thank all of you for that. We would not have been able to go if it hadn't been the support of so many of you. And I just want to truly thank you for that. This is a trip that I know I can speak for myself, and I believe Sarah as well, in saying that we will never be the same because of this trip. These are 10 days that truly change your life, and I would not have had that opportunity if it hadn't been for all of you. So I want to thank you most sincerely for that. Mike, if you'll go ahead and pull that video up. This, again, today I'm going to be talking about Monday through Friday when we get back. So this video and these first two clips, actually the kids, they have a little elementary chorus that did a little program for us. It's just tiny little snippets of that. I'm not sure you'll be able to hear it. I'm going to try to play with the audio and bring you the full clips of those. But if you're wondering why it sounds kind of funny and the music isn't there for those first two clips, that's why. But Mike, if you'll go ahead and play that. That building there houses their classrooms, and the top floor is the apartment we're staying in. This is the kindergarten class, and they were telling Once Upon a Time stories. You can tell this kid's a very good storyteller.
I've tried to cut these corners, try to take the easy way. I kept on falling short of something.
There's the fish wheel.
I couldn't give up then, but then again I couldn't have. I've traveled all this way for something. I take it in, but don't look down.
I'm on top of the world.
That's Mr. Cooper, our campus minister at MTCS. He enjoys the fish thoroughly. This is a Bible class he was doing with the seniors there at FMCA. This is when we fed some of the elderly from the community. They came in and we provided dinner for them and basic vitamins and stuff like that. See, this is in the very edge of Monrovia. And this is the orphanage we went to on Tuesday. This is the original orphanage building. You'll get kind of a shot here in a second of the new building that they're finishing up. This is us setting up for the medical mission there at the orphanage. This is their new building. As you can see there, they're finishing it. They've gotten a lot of support, so you see kind of the difference between it and where they started. But this is VBS that we did with the kids at the orphanage. Split off into small groups, let them do some coloring, did some classes, basic stuff. We talked about the armor of God. This is Resurrection Bags. That's actually a missionary there, a permanent missionary there that does that bags to raise money. Mommy K, that pink building is where we bought all that fabric, if you're wondering. This right here is on our way to the village. The shop before that was going through Firestone's rubber, I guess, farm, you could call it. This is the village. This is the church building, just a little mud building. We did some VBS songs there. Then they had their traditional choir, you could call it, do some songs for us. Then we did a skit as part of VBS. Very interesting to do a skit with a translator. The original Bossa that they speak in these villages. This is the medical mission we had set up, but this kind of gives you a better idea of the village. This is actually, they met the House Majority Leader of Liberia. He happened to be visiting the village the same day we were out there. This is driving back through Firestone. You see all the rubber trees there. This is the medical mission we had set up inside the school. We did that Monday and Thursday. And this is a shot from the roof. This is us getting ready. Bus back to the airport. And then finally at the airport in Monrovia. And then finally in Nashville. As you can see, there's very little video between getting on the plane and getting off because I was asleep. All right, so that gives you kind of a basic idea, and I hope now you feel a little more connected to everything that we did, have a little better understanding. Just kind of a quick what we did on Monday. We had time in classes. That's when you see the shots from the history class and stuff like that. That's the one I went to, surprise, surprise. I sat in on one of their 11th grade history classes, and then Mr. Cooper did a Bible class with the seniors. So I sat in there with that. We also did... part of the medical mission for the school itself that day. We would do basic eye exams, check basic muscular stuff, bone structure stuff, looking for big problems. Small infections we would treat with some antibiotics we had brought. Mostly just little stuff. There was, I know of one child, there may be more, that their vision was so impaired that we did kind of work with them to get glasses locally. To bring back for him. And then Monday evening with the Matthew 25:40 Club, which if you're familiar with MPCS, is a service group that we have at MPCS, and we've set up another branch, you could say, at FMCA there. We worked with our local 25:40 Club to feed some of the elderly in the community Monday night. Chicken feet and rice, surprise, surprise. But we brought that in, we fed them. Mr. Cooper did kind of a short devo with them, and then we were able to give them some vitamins, just kind of basic stuff. Tuesday we went to the orphanage, which you saw. It's about between 75 and 100 kids. It's also a school, so not all of those, I want to say it's around 30 or 40, are actually orphans that live there. The rest of them are students that come in each day, as it is a working school as well. Wednesday, you saw we went to the village. We did the medical mission and the VBS there. That was really great. We met a Liberian senator, so that was interesting. He happened to be campaigning out in some of the local villages that day, so we happened to be in the same place at the same time. So that was fun. Thursday, we went back to the classes with the kids and did more of the medical stuff for the kids at FMCA. And then Friday, we had just a little time to kind of to hang out with the kids a little bit more. Many of us had made kind of special bonds. And each of these nights, we would have devos with our 25:40 club or with, you know, their seniors or with just our group itself. And it was really pretty amazing. At the end today, I'm going to tell you one story that really, really affected me, I think, more than anything. But before that, do we have any more questions? I know we had quite a few last week and weren't quite able to get to all of them. So any kind of questions, what we did, what we saw, anything? The ones like me and Sarah had last week, I want to say they had a sewing machine. I'm pretty sure they did. Now, they're, you know, very basic, but I want to say that they did use a sewing machine for those. And again, some of the sections of it they have to hand make, and some they're able to use kind of basic sewing equipment, because they do have some of that. Some of the people that work at the school that are a little kind of better off. More questions. I know we've got them. Yes. Yes. The school, you know, the school basically, every student that comes in, their kind of case is reviewed. Many of them are only on partial scholarship. There are a few on full scholarship. But the school basically, each time a student enrolls, the school kind of goes through everything and determines how much money they're going to be allocated, and then how much money they'll be responsible for themselves. So the school has a whole department that does that with each individual student as they come in to determine their need and stuff like that. Good question. Any more questions? Yes. Yes, there's an organization in Texas, and I can get more information on that to hand out, that basically kind of funnels in money from different places and then sends it to the school. But they kind of work with fundraising in different areas. And I need to find out exactly if we have to go through that organization or if we can go directly to the school. I want to say we can go directly to the school, but that organization, the way they set everything up, they work with the department at FMCA that determines children's need and the level of scholarship that they'll receive. And then that organization works to raise those funds. Yes? They do. They have a soccer team and a basketball team. And I wasn't going to bring this up, but since you asked, I will tell you this. Sports Day, which was Saturday, I talked about. We did have a group of the guys from the mission trip play their basketball team. That was interesting, to say the least. Yeah, it was not good. It was not at all. And it's very interesting the way they play sports, because they're amazingly athletic. It's kind of as, you know, five individuals, but basically they thought it was really funny to outrun all the white kids, so they would get down to one side of the floor and then, you know, be back, and we'd all be standing about half court like, please just stop. We did beat them at volleyball, though, but a lot less running in that, so I don't know how that kind of correlates, but no, so they have a soccer team and then a basketball team, and then many of them just kind of play sports recreationally. They'll play volleyball, basketball, soccer, lots of soccer. Just kind of in the courtyard or in their open-air gym, things like that. But I want to say that their only two organized teams are a football team, they would call it, and then a basketball team. More questions? Good question, Isaac. A lot of it is different stuff. Like I said last week, there's only about a 12% employment rate. So those employed are usually working some sort of government job or working for the school itself. The rest of them have some sort of trade they ply, whether it's, you know, working on cars or, you know, making different things and selling them, or kind of working odd jobs. Very few of them have a set official employment. It's kind of however, whatever they can do to raise enough money is what they do. Yes. Oh, the split between boys and girls? No, it's pretty even. It is pretty even. And like I said, there's about 650 students, and it's pretty even between boys and girls. No, there's not a tendency to just send boys, because there's pretty well equal opportunity for boys and girls in the country. And if you ever want to meet kids that value an education, there is where to go. Kids that are happy to be at school. Those are some kids that are happy to be at school. Kind of puts everything in perspective, because sometimes I'm not happy to be at school. But you start to realize just how valuable that is. Any more questions? There are, and they're slowly getting better. The public schools are still better. They're trying to develop a public school system. But a lot of kids, because I do want to say that there is still some fee for the public school system. So there is some sponsorship by the government, but there still is a fee to go there. So it's still just like the private school is kind of determined, or enrollment is kind of determined by most of the kids can't afford to do it. Any more questions? Sarah, if I get anything wrong or if I forget something, yell at me. Anything else? All right. Well, I'm going to tell you a story about a senior. His name was Muhammad. And Josh, I will try to end a little earlier. Josh mentioned to me that I went long last time, so I had to make up for it this time. I keep that in mind. When I see him walk out, I'll cut it off. But I'll tell you a story about a senior. His name was Muhammad. And as you can guess, Muhammad, when he went to the school, was originally Muslim. He had gone to the school because Fort Madden is considered one of the premier academic institutes in Monrovia and in the country of Liberia. So he had gone there originally and was a Muslim. All the students are required to take the Bible classes. They all are required to go to chapel in the morning. But there is a non-Christian population there because the school is so sought after just academic-wise. He had slowly been trying to make this decision about Christianity or Islam. And it had been a very difficult one for him to make. And as he had been kind of going along, he slowly started to come to the realization that maybe there was something to this Christianity. And our campus minister at MTCS, Owen Cooper, spent a lot of time with this young man while we were over there. Many hours sit, you know, behind the gym talking to him. And he slowly came to the realization that he believed that there was something to Christianity, that he believed that there was something there. But his problem was is he really didn't know about it. And Mr. Cooper kept kind of asking him questions, you know, what do you know and what do you think about this, what do you think about that? And he noticed that he could answer many of the questions, some of them he couldn't, and he was wondering why there were so many holes in his basic understanding of Christianity, and it was because he had never owned a Bible. He was trying to make this decision, the biggest decision of his life, of if he would convert from Islam to Christianity, but he didn't have the opportunity to sit down and study for himself. And, you know, that brings a realization of, one, how blessed you are. That was the realization I got out of that, because Mr. Cooper came back up to the apartment where we were all sitting with just this shocked look on his face, almost speechless. He basically said, I was talking to Muhammad, and I finally asked him, and he doesn't have a Bible. You know, he's trying to make this decision, and he doesn't have a Bible. He was actually the head of their Matthew 25:40 club, a Christian service group, but this young man was so upstanding that they had elected him president of this group, even though he was Islamic. I mean, this is the kind of young man he is, the kind of person that you want more than anything to be a Christian, because you know how much impact they can make, but he's finding this decision difficult because he doesn't have a Bible. So Mr. Cooper comes up there, and he's like, what are we going to do? You know, what are we going to do? And he's like, I would give him mine, but, you know, mine was a gift. Mr. Cooper's Bible had been a gift from one of his students. So I handed him mine, and I had a little ESV, just a little brown leather Bible. I mean, a tiny little thing, but it was Old and New Testament. And I handed it to him, and I said, you know, give this to him. So he said, okay. And he said, I want you to write something in it. He said, I'm going to write some notes, some suggestions I'm going to make to Muhammad for what to study, and I want you to write something in it. And Sarah ran up to me, and she reminded me that we had had these devotional journals that Mom had sent us. And I pulled out one of them, and we were going to give one to the head of the Matthew 25:40 Club, a man by the name of Joshua, and he had graduated a few years earlier. And another one, and it was sayings of Jesus. So under each topic, there was a few verses, things that Christ had said about faith and about friendship and about, you know, enemies and about love and different things. And we thought he would get a lot of use out of that. But then there was one that was just a little daily devotional. Each day it had a different topic and a few verses and a few thoughts about it and a place for you to write your own thoughts. I looked at Mr. Cooper and I said, "Muhammad needs this." And he said, "Yes, he does." So I wrote something in front of it, a few verses that I thought he would find helpful. And Mr. Cooper wrote in the Bible, and this was going to be our last Devo. This was Wednesday or Thursday night. It was going to be our last Devo with the 25:40 Club. And so he was up there. We were on the roof, and it was dark. It was probably about 8 o'clock, and we were all singing and sitting there and just really having a great time. And at the end of it, everybody kind of cleared off, and, you know, I ran down to the apartment real quick and grabbed that Bible and that prayer journal, and we came back up, and we were talking to him, and me and Mr. Cooper handed it to him. We said, "You know, we want you to have this." We kind of explained what it was and showed him the note in the front, and, you know, you could just kind of see his eyes get big. You know, he never thought that he could have one of his own, that he could actually sit down and have something, you know, to use to make this decision, and we had found out that he had decided earlier that week to become a Christian, and he looked at me and Mr. Cooper, and he said, when y'all come back next year, I'll be the preacher." I just want to read something for you from Hebrews 12:28. Hebrews 12:28 and 29, it says, "Therefore, since we receive a kingdom which cannot be shaken, let us show gratitude by which we may offer to God an acceptable service with reverence and awe, for God is a consuming fire." And kind of what does that verse mean to me after that experience? It was, in Muhammad you see someone who is consumed with a fire for God, with a fire for faith, was truly on fire for God, have been trying to make this decision, I mean, without a Bible, without things that we take for granted. And after making that decision, he was truly on fire for God. He was truly all in. It was truly planning to devote everything he had to God. And then he looked at us and he said, "You know, next year I'll be the preacher." And at that very moment, you know, opens up that Bible and begins to read and, you know, refuses to put it down. And in that moment, I realized, you know, how blessed we are. And how much opportunity we have, and how sometimes we take that for granted. And sometimes we kind of let our faith get stagnant, let it get cold. You know, this is someone who, when finally presented with a Bible, couldn't put it down. You know, how could we be different if we had the same approach? You know, what could we do if we were so on fire that we couldn't put that we couldn't put that Bible down? And the last thing is faith like children. Matthew 28:2-4 said, "And he called a child to himself and set him before them and said, 'Truly I say to you, unless you are converted and become like children, you will not enter the kingdom of heaven. Whoever then humbles himself as this child, he is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven.'" In Africa, you start to understand children is the best way to put it. And children who have nothing but understand true joy and true love and true faith in its purest form. You know, if you want to see what God talks about when he talks about children, it's those kids. And it's just reminding me exactly what he called us to be. is, you know, that pure joy and that pure happiness and that pure faith. And it's hard for me to talk about because it made me realize that I don't have it, but I want it. You know, like I said at the beginning, I wanted to thank all of you for that opportunity to go, because I'll never be the same. So a little shorter this time, but if you would like the opportunity to come and take on that faith, if you're truly really ready to commit to be on fire for God, as we're called to be, and to become like children and enter into this promise, this new kingdom, will you come while we stand and sing?